What's going on, everyone? We're back. Just got done with the first day of scrimmages at the NBA Combine, and oh boy, were there some big, big standout performances and some guys we may not be seeing tomorrow. We'll break it all down for you next. Let's party. Welcome to another episode of the No Ceilings Podcast. I'm Tyler Metcalf, joined as always by Tyler Rucker. No Ceilings crew hanging out at Wintrust Arena for the NBA Combine Day 3. Just got done with the first day of scrimmages. Rucker, we have some guys show out.
Gosh, what a day. I mean, we were hoping for some fireworks with these scrimmages and some really awesome talent that was on full display in both the games, Metcalf. I think we walked away pleasantly surprised, and like you hinted in the opener, I think there's some guys we probably might not watch play again in the combine, but man, what a fun couple of days and a fun day today. It lived up to the expectations.
Absolutely, and we just got to rip the Band-Aid off. Start with the guy who had the best day, I think, by far, and that's Cameron Carr, wing from Baylor, who was kind of a surprise that he was playing to begin with. And right out of the gate, he showed exactly why. He had like 9 points, 2 rebounds in about 90 seconds. Ended up like, I think it was 20 plus with 6 rebounds, 2 blocks, 1 assist. He was phenomenal today. We saw the athleticism in getting to the rim in transition, attacking closeouts, knocking down threes, struggled a little bit off the bounce. You know, the playmaking and self-creation wasn't exactly there, but that's not who he's going to be at the next level. That's not, you know, and he had those similar struggles at Baylor this year, but as a 3-and-D wing, he looked every bit of the part of the top prospect for that archetype in this draft.
Yeah, I think you can make an argument. You know, we said earlier on some shows that, you know, you can argue Cameron Carr is the biggest winner of the combine before even the scrimmages, yeah, just because of his position. The archetype is not really a lot of depth at that position in this draft. So we're like, hey, if Cam Carr has a big combine, this could do wonders for his stock. And coming into today, we were a little surprised he was actually going to play.
Yeah.
But I think we were also like, this might be a rare case of you have everything to gain and nothing really to lose in terms of Cam Carr. We don't see this combination of this type of player, the movement shooter, with that length and that size, that frame, incredible wingspan. Like you said, final box score, 30 points on 9 of 18, 6 of 12 from deep, 6 of 9 from the free throw line, 7 rebounds, 2 steals, only 2 turnovers. So he did a fantastic, and that was in 26 minutes.
Yeah, not bad.
Not bad. So fantastic day from him, and it was kind of funny in the stands. You felt after his first couple, I think he had 3 out of his first 4 shots.
Yep,
3 of them were nothing but net. The one miss was like in and out, and it was quickly hey, we might be shutting this one down at halftime, folks. So that was funny. We were joking at halftime when he came back out to play. I was like, oh boy, he's playing, and I was like, agent must be having a heart attack right now. Like this clock yes, needs to speed up. So unbelievable day for Cam Carr, and I now the conversation is how high could he get? I don't think we're going to see him again. I would be shocked if we see him play again.
Yeah, and this week could not have gone better for him. Measured tremendously well. The weight was good. The length was incredible. The height was good. The athletic testing was good. The shooting drills were good. The combine game scrimmage was even better. How high is too high?
I think you're talking lottery right now, and I don't think that's ridiculous. We, you know, we've been saying like there's a big gap after the guard run, theoretically, and it's like who's the next name to take advantage of that opportunity of like some team's going to be like, hey, we don't want a guard. So or we don't want a point guard. We want to take something else. We need it for our addition, and it's like when you get past those guys, what's the next position you go for? Cam Carr right now has got a heck of a resume to kind of be like, hey, I should be in the mix, and this is a player type that every team's looking for. You know this, Metcalf, and I think right around 10, we start getting into that conversation right now, and I don't think that's an overreaction. I think talking to teams before Chicago, they were all expecting Cam Carr to go nuts. They were saying, this is an event made for Cam Carr to go nuts, but going out there and really putting up a 30-piece after you tested well. And look, he is thin frame, but I thought the weight was even better than I was expecting, which tells you how thin he is. But, you know,
I got up to 190,
190-ish, like one mid, maybe 180s.
Perfect. That's fine.
Look, people were like, that's skinny. And I was like, man, that's a win for me compared to
way
seeing
better
him.
Than
I,
where it was. Yeah.
So long way to go, but really talented kid and really good player. And I think also like a good kid behind the scenes from what you've heard briefly.
Absolutely. All right. Let's jump around. We're going to be kind of all over the place. We'll try and stick team by team. So sticking with Team Rivers, I thought the like one of the other guys who had was the most impressive, didn't put up the most points necessarily, never really has though, but Dylan Mitchell,
yeah,
I loved what he showed today, and he had a near triple-double, a billion offensive rebounds. The defense was good, the connected passing, the cutting, and he does such a good way of doing all of, or he does such a good job of doing all the dirty work and finding a way to impact winning, even in scrimmages like this. But it's stuff we saw from him at Texas, at St. John's. And I think, obviously, it'd be great if he had a shot and he was a reliable corner shooter. Maybe it comes in time. But the fact that he's an elite athlete who's a terrific defender and a tremendous rebounder with some passing chops, I think that alone is enough to not only get him on a roster, but to potentially get him some rotation minutes early in his career. I loved what we saw from him today.
Every time I've seen Dylan Mitchell in person, I leave going, man, Dylan Mitchell can play, and he's a game wrecker. And it's one of those, like, you know, we say, like, hey, if Dylan Mitchell had a shot, you said it to me. He's like, he's probably going top 25 a couple years ago. Like, that's how talented the athleticism is. And he's one of those rare prospects every time I've seen in person. He's taller than I remember. Like, it just, like, he's lengthy. And when you watch his defense in person, it is really remarkable of the impact and how all over the place he is. So I think Dylan Mitchell was great today. Like, hey, anytime in these scrimmages you're, you know, kind of flirting with a triple-double, you're making some noise. And he just felt like he was always, like, his presence was always felt when you were watching the game. And he flies all over the place. So Dylan might have his warts offensively with the shot, but I think teams are going to be comfortable with, like, hey, this is a defensive weapon, a high-energy guy that really can make an impact and, like you're saying, stick on a roster. And that's a playoff series guy. That's a guy that you really want, and I thought it was a great day for him.
Just that toughness, too. Yeah. Like, it's so easy to say. It's like, oh, this guy plays hard. But just when you see it in person and you see it permeate throughout his game and how it impacts his teammates and the amount of ground that he can cover on the defensive end, where even if the point guard gets blown by or something, his ability to rotate and then recover and cover so much ground, but under control and in the blink of an eye, it's really special. I mean, we constantly see elite athletes scramble, but they're typically like flying by on their closeouts, a little out of control. But he does such a good job of staying on balance, staying under control in those situations where he can, as a weak side defender, he can cover so much ground. I guess I got two more guys on Team Rivers. Jacoby Gillespie had himself a day.
Great day. Look, I think sometimes it's these scrimmages are so important also. And you could argue, I guess, Metcalf, maybe this is a hot take, but like, I think now more than ever, these scrimmages are important for, like, we don't know who's going back still.
Right.
So a lot of these guys, you know, it could be like, hey, they were on the fence of getting drafted. Now, all of a sudden, if a lot of guys go back, we could be talking about maybe their top 50 pick. And Jacoby Gillespie, tough Tennessee guard, little undersized. I thought actually his measurements came in pretty promising. Mm-hmm. Like, kind of checked it. I was like, okay, we're over 6 feet. We're good. But he could score, and he can get buckets, and he's tough, and he's physical. Finished with 28 today on 10 to 17. I thought he had a great day. Like, efficient, ran the show, did a good job. Also threw in 5 assists and 3 steals, 1 block. So the stocks, the assists, taking the hit. I thought it was a really good day for him. Like, that's the type of day where if you can stack that with another good scrimmage.
Yeah.
I think he still probably will play one more day, but one more good scrimmage. Yeah, he should. Now you're getting into, like, hey, we're in a good conversation now. Now teams might be looking at you like, hey, what about Gillespie maybe as a two-way guy that we could work with? Good day for him. Really good day.
But I think that's the key, though, is he's always been capable of having these types of days. Yep. Can you put him back-to-back?
Right.
Can you string multiple performances together? Because he's always been a little streaky. He's always been a little erratic. But he's always been a guy where you take the good with some of the bad.
Yep.
Now, if he comes back out tomorrow and goes 2-for-14 shooting, it's going to be a bummer. But if he has something that maybe not even to this level, but something that reflects it a little bit, it could be really, really big for him and just trying to carve out that kind of third point guard type of role early in his career.
Absolutely.
The last guy on Team Rivers for me was Jeremy Fears.
Yeah.
The kid can just play. He's one of these guys, you just always feel him out there. And I know he's not everyone's cup of tea, but the way that he's constantly talking, he's directing everything on defense. He's running the offense with ease, like he's been running it for decades. And he's hyping up his teammates. He knocked down a couple shots, playing tough defense, sees the floor incredibly well. Seeing the way that he snakes through the lane and in traffic and running the pick and roll in person is really, really fun. I still don't think he should be a this year guy. I think he should go back, but he had a fantastic game.
Really, really good day. I thought it was probably one of my favorite guys throughout the game where I'm like, Jeremy Fears is having a heck of a day. Like, I'm right there with you. Thought he did a great job of kind of running the show and playing. He didn't kind of force the issue offensively when it came to like his shot. Like, he was only 1-for-2 from three. He was 5-for-7 from the field, 6-for-8 from the free throw line, and then 17-3-5 with 2 steals. It just was kind of like, hey, it's a heck of a day for you. And I'm with you. I think another year would probably do wonders, but you're also in that weird conversation of like, man, like, teams might just like you and kind of be comfortable with where you're at. I'm with you. The mentality is not for fans, like for everyone. It might rub you the wrong way.
If he's on the other team, you hate him. If he's your guy,
yep,
you are head over heels in love.
Because there's guys here that stand out with the mentality, the talking, and it's not fake. It's just correct. Kind of how you're wired. And with Fears, you felt he was just locked in and had the team locked in a lot. So the competitive mentality, some teams love that. They'll eat that up. Like, so I thought it was a really good day for him. He got you thinking, you know. He really did get you thinking, like, probably next year guy. And then after watching him play, I was like, okay, can we stack one more? Can we give me one more game and let's see what's going on there?
Where do you want to jump to next?
You know, I think let's just stay with that game. I think Team Williams, I wanted to give a shout out to Nick Boyd had a good day.
Yeah.
Kind of shocked me a little bit because this was kind of a super sleeper for me. From Wisconsin, kind of transfer over. I got intrigued throughout the year. I thought there was some good film, and I thought Boyd could be one of these, like, hey, maybe make a little noise and maybe turns into like a G League guy that can sort of pop and figure out how to stick on a roster. And yesterday I felt like with the testing and everything, I was a little underwhelmed. I was like, nah, maybe not. And then today I was like, maybe we got just a gamer, like a guy that's just knows how to play. He finished with 23 today. I just thought it was a good day, like worthy of giving a shout out. Like you just said with Jacoby Gillespie, a lot of these guys, all right, you did it, do it again. Like, see, can you do it again? Can you really show up? And if not with scoring tomorrow, can you impact the game in another way? Like, I think that speaks volumes to team.
Yeah, and he coming into this week, he was a guy where I'm like, I think he might make a little bit of noise. And he got off to kind of a brutal start in the first quarter, just couldn't find the rhythm, a little clunky to get going. I'm like, okay, maybe not. And then third quarter, you look up and he's like, oh, he somehow got up to 15 points and a couple rebounds and a couple assists. It's like, oh, he's just playing so effectively within the flow of the offense that he's picking his spots really well, did a really good job getting downhill, showcasing that scoring touch around the rim, on floaters, on layups. I still think he's kind of a sneaky two-way guy, late second-round flyer that a team could really like. If you're looking for a little punchy spark plugs guard off the bench as your third point guard, I think you could go do a lot worse than Nick Boyd.
Completely agree. I mean, look, a lot of these guys in these scrimmages, I know fans will get excited and stuff, but teams are trying to figure out, like, hey, can we get you to this to develop you into a backup?
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of these guards, it's like, hey, can we draft you as maybe your third point guard that you carve out a role to, for, like, there's our long-term change of pace guard. And you got to get realistic with some of the expectations for these guys. So I think it's not slander to them, but like if guys buy into that, you know, we kind of talked about Otego Owe in the recap from yesterday. If he buys into that, you could play a long time in the NBA and be successful at your role. Probably make a lot of money too. But speaking of,
heck of a game.
Heck of a game. And like that's exactly what we're talking about. I think Otega did a great job today of being like, there's Otega. There's the one you buy into. He took care of the ball. No turnovers, 20 points, 4 rebounds. Like, He did a great job of playing alongside and not forcing the issue. Just took what the defense gave him. 7 of 12 from the field, 1 of 3 from three. Like, that's where I think teams get excited about, hey, Otega could be a guy that either you stick it as a two-way guy to really just carve out the role and figure it out, or he impresses and sticks on your roster. And I still think he could be a game-wrecking, like, defensive specialist that just – don't force the issue offensively, but play your role. Like, I thought it was a good day for Otega.
Yeah, I thought he did a perfect job of just kind of fitting in where needed. The bulk of this is going to be positive, but yeah. I feel like we got to talk about Tyler Tanner.
Yeah. I talk about everyone. We got to be real.
I thought he had a bad day. He knocked down a couple threes early, but he just kind of floated around like that in like that 9 to 11 point range for most of the game. The defense was good. He got a lot of deflections. Really active on that end of the floor, but we also saw what happens when a 6'8 guy just like gets switched on him in the pick and roll, and that's going to happen relentlessly in the NBA. And yeah, the hands are good, the toughness of quick feet is all great. Like, the defense was overall pretty good, but it's super easy to target him and take advantage of his size in the post. And the playmaking was tough. He just wasn't seeing the floor. There are a lot of assists that he just missed and didn't see at all. And he only got like one paint touch, and it came in the final 30 seconds of the game. So I'm excited to see him tomorrow, see how he bounces back. But I thought it was a really, unfortunately, underwhelming performance by him.
Tough day. It's a little worrisome when you're watching these games in person and you kind of forget someone's out there. And you would think it would be hard to forget Tanner's out there because of his frame and everything. But he was the one where, like, it just kind of looked uncomfortable. Now, if I was kind of trying to be like, hey, here's the optimism for a bounce back. Maybe you get a little bit more on-ball stuff tomorrow. Maybe you get a little bit more, you know, freedom. And maybe you do get a little bit of pep and stuff. Like, all right, hey, come on. Like, I could showcase this. But he's the one guy, seeing him in person this whole week, he feels smaller.
Yeah.
He feels skinnier than what I was expecting. And, I knew he was going to be small, but the frame feels skinnier when you see him next to a couple of these other guys that have a little bit more muscle. So I thought it was a tough day for Tanner. I thought he needed to have one of these Jacoby Gillespie performances to really start making some buzz as like, oh, maybe he is going to stay in. Right now, I think he's got another game to kind of prove it and make a little bit of a charge. But I think he's going to be in the SEC next year. That would be my guess.
Same. And yeah.
And it's not slander to him. It's just, no, it's not, it's
no, but like,
it's not be, never, it's size, not now.
To
yeah.
Be that right. size, it's almost impossible.
Yeah.
And, you know, a guy who is about that size that we saw out here too was Braden Smith. And, you know, when we're watching him, it's like, man, he's so crafty. He's so comfortable in those tight areas, navigating through three defenders and coming out the other side, still with the ball, taking care of it. And, but like, that stuff only comes through playing and through experience. And Tanner's still super young and inexperienced in that kind of realm, and the only way to get better at that kind of stuff is to play. And my concern is that he stays in this draft and just gets buried on the bench and never really gets the opportunity to learn how to do that kind of stuff, whereas in college, with another year, maybe two, who knows, he's going to be able to really apply a lot of polish, a lot of seasoning to that aspect of his game, and absolutely torture defenders more than he did this year with his speed.
Yeah, honestly, it was two different players with like kind of the same build watching them on the court. It was like kind of interesting to be able to watch Braden Smith the first game and then get to watch Tanner, because you're like, Braden Smith plays big and offense. Like, he plays bigger than his size. He's very composed with chaos. And what I mean by that is, like, through the pick and roll and when there's a lot of activity around where it's like, hey, you got three defenders or, you know, three guys around you. That's where Braden's at his specialty. Like, he feels big that way. He knows how to navigate that space in a weird way. Hearing you talk about it, Metcalf, I'm almost like, Tyler Tanner should go back and watch Braden Smith film.
Yes.
To kind of master that. And then if you can figure that out, I don't care how tall you are, if you can figure out how to control the chaos of the in-between game and master it, then you can be a weapon, no matter
especially
how big
with
you are.
His top-end speed.
Oh, for sure. That's also, like, we're saying this about Braden Smith. Braden Smith played 4 years of college.
Right.
So, like, Tanner's got time on his side to perfect that. And, look, he had an incredible year at Vanderbilt. I'm not out on him as a prospect at all. I just think it might be a little early for him to have the best chance at success at the NBA level. Because I'm with you. If he came out right now, I'd be worried he'd be stashed in the G League for a while.
Where do you want to go next?
Can we flop games?
Yeah, I can't hold it in anymore.
Yeah,
no, I think that's all we got from game two. Yeah. Those are the main standouts to me. So, yeah, let's jump over to game one.
Before we go to Baba Yaga, I have to...
Don't you dare steal that.
I know. That's Metcalf. Matt Abel. We might have a party crasher, folks.
We're going to have a conversation.
There's always one guy that, you know, I think kind of comes out of nowhere and could really make some noise as potential late riser. Now, we're going to be doing our intel dives, you know, later and everything right there. Like, this is a big night for us. But as I'm saying this right now, Matthew Abel looked a little different than everybody else in that first game. He looks...
And then he did at North Carolina State.
And he did at... Yep, I completely agree. I think this is the one where you're watching that first game. You're like, that's the one moving different that you can tell has a lot to unlock. Like, there's a lot of skill. I don't know how high he could get, but it wouldn't shock me if he could be like an early second, late first climber. Because some team might say, like, that's the pre-draft guy we're going to get our hands on and be patient. Because year two, year three, Matthew Abel looks like a guy who could just blow up.
I think he's going to be a first rounder. Now,
I don't think that's crazy to think right now because, I mean, look, he was 5 of 9. He had 15-3. It was the loudest 15-3 I've watched in a long time. It was just like, that one looks smooth. Go ahead.
Yeah, just like when he's one of these guys where the process has been so much better than the end result.
Yes.
And the end result today wasn't bad. But when you're watching him just navigate his role on ball, off ball, on offense, defensively, communicating, interacting with his teammates, the way he's moving out there and flowing just effortlessly throughout the game. It's like this dude just knows how to play. Is his skill set totally refined and ready to go from day one? Not necessarily, but oh man, with a little bit of time and not much, just a little bit of time and a little bit of experience, there's like a monster of a two guard waiting to be unlocked there. And I think he's going to be a first rounder. Do you think he plays tomorrow?
I don't know. I mean, I think that's the feedback you probably are hunting to get right now because I think it's a slippery slope where, like, if he played and played good again, I think the first round combo really gets cooking. He seems like a guy teams would want to promise.
For sure.
That seems like a really big promise guy.
Especially
of like,
if you're, like, a good playoff team where you don't need him immediately, but you can grab him at 26 or something.
Oh, and look, like, we're waiting to confirm it, but the buzz has been all week that like this class could get gutted a little bit with guys going back. And if that happens, teams are going to look at Matt Abel and be like, there's our guy. Let's get him. And maybe we're drafting him a year early, but let's get him and work on him. But it's funny talking with you right now, Metcalf, like watching him and then watching Cam Carr, like is Matt Abel the one evolution behind Cam Carr, like the year behind where it's like, hey, maybe that's where you're trying to get to of that fluidity, that confidence. But he just looked really good today. It just was the standout. If you weren't looking at the score, if you weren't looking at the stats and you were watching the flow of the game, you're like, Matt Abel's moving a little different than everybody else out there.
Agreed. Who else on Team Carpenter stood out to you?
I thought it was a really good day for Jaden Bradley. I just kind of thought today for Jaden Bradley was a perfect sales pitch of like, I know what I am. I know my role at the next level, and this is how I'm going to be an impact, like a good size backup guard. He had 10, 5, and 7. I think he turned the ball over a couple of times, but it was some decisions where like he was trying to hit the guys ahead. He got tipped, and it was like, turnover, but good processing. And he just seems like a really good, smart, maybe second round pick that like, hey, if you are patient, you can really get a heck of a piece as a backup guard to groom for a long time.
Yeah. And before we were talking about like the value of some of these second round guys, knowing who they are and knowing what NBA teams want from them. Jaden Bradley knows that. He's not one of these guys who's like, no, I'm Allen Iverson. He's like, no, you're not.
Right.
But he's not pitching himself as that. And he just was out there running the offense, taking care of the ball, getting to the rim, playing tough defense, crashing the boards. Now, it'd be great if he could shoot. I would love if he could shoot. But if he could shoot, he'd be a first rounder.
Right.
But the way that he was not executing, like, just simple, like, pocket passes and toying with drop defenders,
And Brayden Smith couldn't stay in front of him at all. Like, he was constantly getting to the rim, getting paint touches, but then creating for guys outside of that in the open court in transition. He was a menace. He was so good at manipulating defenders, sending them one way and then setting up the guy on the other side. It was really impressive. And it's just like, hey, do you want a backup point guard who's going to be able to run the offense, get everyone else involved, and not make mistakes? Cool. Here I am.
Got a little bit of a breaking news while we're recording, Metcalf. Okay.
Yes.
According to Jeff Borzello, Texas Dalen Swing closed the door on a return to college 2 feet in, he said.
Wow. Well, what a transition, because he was also on this team. And I did not get the impression that that would be the decision after this game.
Yeah, a little, you know, coming into this, I thought this was going to be a... I thought this could be a weird situation for Swain to stand out because at Texas, he was so on the ball. And as we see a lot with these combine scrimmages, like, it's really tough to get like serious usage unless you're running this, you're the typical point guard that's running the show. So like, I didn't think Swain was going to get the freedom he had at Texas to be like, hey, clear out. Let me get everyone's like, no, what are you talking about? We're all trying to look at. So, like, he had some moments, he had some flashes, but I felt a little underwhelmed. But I was also like, this is probably a tough setting for Swain to pop. So, yeah, that's an interesting one.
He was really quiet and kind of invisible, I thought, for most of the game. He had a couple really nice drives that were self-created that we've seen before with some nice extension finishes. But, like, the defense was a little inconsistent. A couple nice flashes, but he was just really quiet. And... If I didn't know who Dalen Swain was before this game, I would have thought, I was like, oh, this guy's probably going to go back to school. So I'm curious to see, maybe he's gotten a promise in the intermeaning period. Maybe not. I'm fascinated to see what he does tomorrow. I'm fascinated because immediately after that scrimmage ended, I was like, he should probably play again tomorrow.
Yeah, I also think, you know, that's why we're excited to get some dirt, some intel. And I think with guys like that, too, like, there might be a mental game you play where you're like, screw it, I'm in. Just so, like, you're playing tomorrow and you're like, no, I'm in.
Yeah.
But I don't want to debate it. And, like, I'm with you. Like, you should play another day. But I thought today was just kind of more of like, man, I had a bad moment where I looked and I was like, I didn't know Swain's out here. You know, and that's always a scary one where I was like, oh, man, okay. But then... he had a couple plays towards the end where I was like, all right, starting to feel a little better. Those guys also, once they get that first game under their belt, I'm like, you might pop a little bit tomorrow if we play again and kind of be like, all right, I got it out of my system. Let's go. I know what to expect. But anyone on Team Adams, you want to switch teams or anyone else you wanted to highlight?
I think that was, and it just quick.
Sorry, I'm just excited.
Just, you know, obviously one scrimmage at the combine does not totally skew evaluation. We know that. But when a guy gets kind of pivoted a little more into the role that he's a little more likely to play at the NBA, it matters. Let's jump over to Team Adams. Who caught your eye?
I'm going to let you go crazy about Baba. So I want to talk about Brayden Smith. Look, Brayden Smith had eight points, four rebounds, three assists, and... 2 of 7, but I think we need to kind of spotlight him because it was the easiest, like the first couple minutes of the game, I just was like, yeah, I'm in. Because I watched Brayden Smith navigating, you know, the offense and how comfortable he was and some of the plays he was making. And that's a guy I want to take a chance on to find a potential like change of role or change of pace backup guard. If you could develop that, he's tough. He plays bigger than he is. I know his frame's undersized. I know he, you know, very decorated 4-year guard at Purdue, but there's something to be small and play that way. There's also something to be that frame and play bigger. And I think he is a maestro of just dealing with madness in the in-between game and putting people in position and not panicking. I thought Brayden Smith just was like one of those guys that impressed me without the box score. Impressing. And it's not me just falling for the guy that played 4 years at Purdue. I think he was just a really good guard you think could stick and figure it out at the next level.
Yeah, and I'm struggling with him because offensively, I agree with you. I thought he looked great. I've loved how he's shot the ball all week.
Yeah.
It's like if you could shoot like this from outside, why were you not doing this at Purdue?
Right.
Why were you stepping into all of these mid-range jumpers all the time, Braden? What the heck? Purdue fans might be a little irked by that as well, but you know, he's one of the best point guards in the history of their program, so I'm sure they're okay. I thought defensively he was like bad.
Yeah.
And that, like we talked about with Tanner, he's going to be super easy to defend or to target on that end of the floor. But even just like staying in front of Jaden Bradley, like he couldn't do it.
Right.
Like,
right.
Bradley had just an open lane to the rim constantly. So that concerned me. Now, I know Brandon Smith hasn't always been, you know, Matthew Dellavedova out there.
Right.
As an on-ball defender. But I always thought he was a little tougher than that. I always thought there was a little more resistance, a little more peskiness. So I was a little underwhelmed and honestly disappointed with his defense there.
Completely get it. And you know, when I'm not just trying to save face here because Metcalf disagreed with me, but when I'm looking at those guys, I'm like, hey, I like enough of the tools. Like, how can you figure out the tough spot? Like, what can you figure out how to survive defensively? Or is a team going to draft you being like, we have a good foundation around him, but we need someone to run the show. Yeah, you can argue like, hey, Jaden Bradley had a good day. Is that because of Braden Smith? Which right. You could argue, yes. So it also is like, hey, is that more of a Braden Smith struggle or Jaden Bradley? Is that physical, you know, height? Like, it was just more of like, I understand why you'd buy in from seeing him in person. I never got to see Braden in person. So seeing him in person, I was like, I understand why you'd buy in at potentially like a late second round pick flyer where you're like, maybe this is a guy that spends some time in the G and figures it out. And then, you know.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
No, like, I think he's going to be a solid pro. Like,
yeah.
Third string point guard with backup upside.
Right. That's what you want. That's your dream. Yeah. Right. Who do you got?
Look, we got to do it. We got to talk about Bobby Yaga. Apparently, he's inevitable this week.
He's been unbelievable.
He's been insane, folks. Baba Miller. Oh, my goodness.
I don't know where to start. Go ahead.
Neither do I.
He
shot well today. The passing was awesome, especially from like a connective standpoint. He's been moving well without the ball, crashing the boards on both ends of the floor, playing solid defense. He's just looked really, really good. And not, I promise that this isn't me getting out over my skis. I'm not saying he's a first rounder, but when we look at second round flyers with his athletic tools, with his passing capabilities, and just his size, there aren't many better lottery tickets in the second round than him. Now, there are still a lot of holes to his game, and I've almost rarely loved the film. Going back to Cincinnati, to FAU, to Florida State, I've always thought there was a lot of unwarranted hype. But he's been incredible this week, and I'm very excited to dive back into the film to either, you know, throw some cold water on this.
Right.
Or find some things where it's like, oh, there might be like your context asked you to do more than maybe you should be.
I'm trying to figure out how I warm up my intel text to be like, how do I just not right out of the gate just be like, can we talk about Bobby Miller? Look, he had 20 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, no turnovers. 6 of 10 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3, and 6 of 6 from the free throw line. That's fantastic work for Bobby Miller. And look, he measured 6'10 and a half barefoot. He's skinny.
Very.
But his handle today, how quickly he moved, and it was fluid. You know, everyone was been excited. Scouts have been excited about Bobby Miller for the last couple of years, but it just never seemed to click. And what better time if it starts clicking than the NBA Draft Combine?
He understood the assignment.
I'm with you, Metcalf. Like, this class could get weird, and I think that's one of those picks where you're like, this could be gold in the second round. Wherever we swing, if this clicks, because he's just figured out how to make an impact.
Yeah,
it's the offensive glass. You know, Bobby Miller's flying out of nowhere to get his paws on it. Or he had a couple beautiful catch and shoot threes today where I was like, if you're hitting that, teams are going to be drooling right now. So there's always a guy after the combine that teams start getting a little like, huh? And you start seeing, oh, Bobby Miller's going to work out for 10 teams. And it's some team right now is going to be like, we're going to get this kid in because we might need to be getting him early in the second round if we got an early pick. Like, that's the swing you take where if all of a sudden your first round pick clicks and you get Bobby Miller to figure it out, You're doing a backflip. You might have signed a contract extension if you're GM. So I've done a complete, like, yeah. I don't even know what the one, yeah. what's ridiculous than a 180. It just seems like it's a complete, like, no way. And all of a sudden now I'm like, I think I'm in.
Yeah, it's wild. Anyone else say you want to run through or?
No, I think the DJ's playing us off. I mean, we're at the Academy Awards. They're playing the music off the stage.
Terry Street did some stuff. Billy Richmond did some stuff. But I don't think anywhere to the levels of these other guys.
They were solid. I thought, you know, Ruben Chinyulu had some moments.
Isaiah Nelson, a few moments.
Isaiah Nelson, I will say this to everyone out there. Isaiah Nelson was one of my favorite guys at this Cole Combine. That dude never stops talking. I mean, even when he's out the game, I swear, like, I don't know if he was breathing today. He was just talking nonstop. It was unbelievable. So I don't care what the vibes. I don't care what green room guy.
Green room guy.
Isaiah Nelson, he going to have to figure it out in the G League to figure out the offense. But, like, the frame, the tools, the mentality, defensively, he never stops talking. You hear him all the time. And, you know, we've asked about him, and the intel was through the roof. So I really liked Isaiah Nelson. Look, he did the 0-for-0 day. 0-for-0 from the field. 1 point.
Efficient.
One of my favorite guys today. Just was
super efficient.
He's a vibes guy. And look, if the tools can come around and he could be a defensive impact, teams will buy in because of the mentality and the intangibles.
All right. Well, we're gonna leave it there. We'll be back, or I'll be back tomorrow. Because Rucker hates basketball. But
Shout out to my wife and kid. I'm coming home.
You can find all this stuff, all of our stuff on NoCeilingsNBA.com, No Ceilings YouTube, podcast, socials. He's Tyler Rucker. You can follow him at Tyler_Rucker. I'm Tyler Metcalf. You can follow me at TMetcalf11. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. Till next time. See you.